Now, we're very glad tonight to have our brother Alan Bartley back with us this evening. And we trust that you'll pray throughout the service if you know the Lord, just that the Word of God will have free course and be glorified, and we might know the presence of God amongst us. Alan, we're glad to have you, and thank you for coming.
It's lovely to be with you tonight and to share in your gospel service. We're going to turn together, please, to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and we're going to commence to read at verse 17. At verse 17 of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and this passage deals with the church at Laodicea, which has already been referred to in prayer. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to John on Patmos, and we're breaking into what he has to share to them in verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his infallible word. Let's unite again together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, we realize that we need help to be given from heaven. And Lord, what we're desiring to see accomplished tonight can only be wrought by thee. So, Lord, afresh I give myself unreservedly into thy hand. I claim thy cleansing and sanctifying power on my spirit, soul, and body. And for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, for the fulfillment of divine promises, and Lord, for the blessing and benefit of the church, I now take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take and I thank thee that he, the Holy Spirit, will undertake in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The text I want to draw your attention to is in chapter 3, verse 20. I'm sure many, if not all, would be familiar with this text. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." This text was originally written to a church. It was written to people, Christians, who were indifferent to the Lord himself. And of course, it has much to say to us today as a church. But I want to take it slightly out of context, and I want to address those tonight who perhaps are not yet Christians. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never been truly born again and come into the family of God. I want to speak to you for a little time this evening, because in this text we have the call of God to the individual. He says, "I stand at the door and I knock." I knock. And in this, there's a very clear demonstration of God speaking to the individual. We live in a day when many people are confused about voices. People are confused with regards to whether it's God speaking or whether it's someone else speaking. And many people make wrong decisions on this front. We have perhaps, despite the fact we're maybe the most atheistic generation of all, certainly in the last 500 to 600 years, yet there's great interest in spiritual things. Many people recognize that materialism doesn't satisfy the deepest needs of their lives, so they enter into spiritual experiences. The problem is many can't discern what is God and what is not God. what is apparently going to really help me and what might ultimately hinder and ultimately damn me. In the text, we have the Lord speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I remember many years ago, a gentleman who was in business, and he had come along to a mission, and the Holy Spirit began to really speak to him, and he came under conviction of sin. Now, I didn't know him other than just being a gentleman at the mission, but other people were very taken by it, for they said, this guy doesn't go to missions. He was about 60, he had his own business, so on and so forth, but he had never really showed any interest in spiritual things. And one night going out, he said, I would love you to call at my house and come and see me. And I went round after the mission to see that man, and it was very evident that God was speaking to him. Now, how I knew God was speaking to him was because he was very troubled about his sin. Very troubled about his sin. He was concerned that if he died in his present condition, that he would be lost eternally in hell. And this dear man, I remember talking to him at length, and he ran into his wife, and he said to me, hold on a wee moment. He ran into his wife, and he got a pen and paper and come back, and he said, now, what was that verse you said, and what was that wee text you mentioned? And I could see, and I remember going home and saying to my wife, if that man's not saved by tomorrow, I'll eat my hat. God is so speaking to that man. And the next morning, we got a phone call, and he said, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. Well, that was great news, and he proved that for many years afterwards he served the Lord until the Lord took him home. But nevertheless, he told me the story that he had got a little book given to him on it's entitled Let Him In by Noel Grant the Evangelist. And it shows a little picture of what it seems like what Jesus would be knocking at a door and Jesus wanting in. And this man had returned home from the mission. I had talked to him, and the important thing wasn't what I had done. The important thing was that God was speaking to him. And one morning he said, you know, I was thinking about it all the time. Even when I was working, I was thinking about it all the time. No matter when I went to do to my business or getting my employees or whatever, he said, all I was thinking about was this issue of my salvation and my sin. And he said, God was so speaking. And he said, I got up one morning, my wife already had left. And he said, I got up and I set my breakfast down and my cornflakes. And he said, you know, I went down to the bedroom and I got that little book of Noel Grant's, the evangelist. And he said, I brought it up and there it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, knocking to get in. And he said, I was eating my cornflakes. And he said, I looked at it and I ate and I looked at it. And he said, then before I knew it, he said, the tears were rolling down my face into my cornflakes. As he said, I realized that I wasn't a Christian, that the Lord had never been come into my life. And he said, there and then, I ran down to my bedroom and invited the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me and to come into my life and save me. And he said, it's been so wonderful. God came into my life and he saved me. You see, friends, God has a real voice. God speaks. The Bible says in the book of Job, God speaks once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth it not. You see, the animal kingdom is much more in touch with God than humans. And despite how illuminated and how intelligent and how men brag on how gifted and skilled they are, yet when it comes to the realm of God, the animal kingdom is much more in touch with the Creator than man. You say, well, what evidence could you tell us that the animal kingdom is more in touch with God than humans? Well, very easily, if you read your Bible. You see, we read of a prophet who was disobedient to God called Balaam. Balaam, we're told, was on a journey that God didn't want him to take, and eventually an angel stood with a sword to destroy him. And the Bible says whenever he was on the journey, that the ass that he was on, the old donkey, the donkey could see the angel with the drawn sword. And he turned around and spoke to him and warned him of the danger. The donkey could see more than the prophet. The Bible tells us that whenever there was a disobedient servant of God, prophet called Jonah, that Jonah was thrown overboard and into the water. The Bible says that God had prepared a great fish, and the fish came and swallowed him up. The Bible tells us of another prophet called Elijah. And Elijah had been serving the Lord and was waiting at a place called Cherith. And as he was waiting on the Lord had sent down the ravens day and evening. They dropped off a burger and then they dropped off some bread as well. They took a loaf each day and a burger and they dropped them off with him. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God spoke to Jonah's fish just the once. He spoke to the ravens just the once. He spoke to Balaam's ass just the once. But the Bible says he speaks once, yea, twice to man, and yet man perceives it not. You see, dear friends, the Bible says that the unsaved are dead in trespasses and sin. And dear friend, you may be in here and you may be totally alert. You've got all your senses. You can see and hear and feel and touch and smell. You've got all those senses, but the Bible says that you're dead to God. And how you're dead to God is through your sin. You're cut off. You have a spirit inside, but that spirit is cut off from God. If you chose to become a witch, or you chose to go into witchcraft, well, you could employ your spirit, and you could do lots of things. But one thing you couldn't do is you could never know God, because your spirit is cut off from God through sin. And the only way that your spirit can be connected to God again, the only way that you can know God, is by repenting of all your sin and receiving God's gift of salvation, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a call came clear in this text. God speaks sometimes very loudly. My wife, before she was converted, was a punk rocker. An odd kind of a creature she was, but nevertheless the Lord saved her and sorted her out. But she was a punk rocker, and she was brought up in a good old godly home, an old Presbyterian home up there in the west coast of Scotland. And whenever she was brought up, they were brought up strict, really strict. And we are told, she told it, tells in her testimony, that whenever she had decided to throw off her parents' restrictions, she went to a college, an art college, and everything her parents told her, she threw it all overboard, and she decided she'd live her own life her own way. But she had a praying mother, and her mother never stopped praying for her. And she used to go down that great Princess Street with a ghetto blaster, you know, these devices with the big speakers, and they deafen you even when you're, you know, 50 foot away and people have them stuck in their ear. Well, she had one of those, and she had the music on as loud as it would go. Do you know why she had that loud music on with her friends around her? She said because the voice of God was so strong in her mind and heart, calling her to repentance, she wanted to get rid of the voice of God. Thank God she didn't do that. God speaks. God speaks. God has a voice. But you know, sometimes whenever you say no to God and you keep saying no to God, you know what happens? God's voice gets quieter and quieter. It gets really weak. And that's why often very few elderly people get saved. Very few old people ever truly come to the Lord. Because they have so sinned and so hardened their hearts and so set themselves in their defiant way against God and His Word and His laws that God, even when He does speak, they either don't want to hear or they virtually can't hear. I want to say to you tonight that God is a voice, and can I say, if God speaks to you, with all the love I can muster in my heart, make sure you don't ignore God speaking to you. Please don't do that. You see, in the text, there's not only a call from God, but there's a choice. He says, I stand at the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, there's a choice. You know, when people come to my door, I have a choice. I can either open it or keep it closed. That's my choice. Because the handle is on the inside, and so it is with you and I. The Lord Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will never push into your life. Jesus is never going to force you to heaven, never. He invites you by knocking at the door to receive Him, to let Him in, but the choice is yours. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. He doesn't say, I break the door down, or I get a sledgehammer, or I come and get other people to pull it. No, he says, I knock. And if anybody hears my voice and they open the door, then I will come in. The choice. On one occasion, Moses stood before the children of Israel, a vast congregation, and he said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed or your children may live. One day Joshua stood before the children of Israel and he said, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what God you want to serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. A choice. Dear friends, you don't just glide into heaven. You don't ever stumble into heaven. You don't ever fall into heaven. You make choices that lead to heaven. You make choices. And those choices God Almighty will respect. And you will eternally bear the consequences of those choices, whether good or bad. You bear the consequences. You see, the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Some people never open the door to the Lord Jesus. Some people keep the door closed. And there's a variety of reasons why the door is kept closed while the Lord Jesus knocks. And some people never receive the Lord Jesus. He never comes in because there is a deliberate delay. You see, if I had somebody came and knocked at my door and I didn't want them to come in for whatever reason, I just didn't want them at that time to come into my home, I would deliberately delay. Because I know that if I sit in another room with the door closed long enough, eventually they'll get tired knocking. And what they'll do is they'll walk away. And you can do that with the Lord in your life. You can have a deliberate delay. Some other time. A young man on one occasion under the ministry of D.L. Moody had come under conviction of sin, and the Lord had spoken mightily to him. Moody, being a very astute and wise evangelist, had noted that while many other people were talking and doing after the meeting, he ran after the young man that had responded. But he noted that the young man, from the time he had responded to the actual end of the service, had changed his mind. He said to Mr. Moody, you know, he said, I was thinking about it, and I know I need to be saved. I understand that, but you know, I'm young and I've got a career in front of me and there's business propositions for me and I feel I want to do that. And Moody said, well, that's very dangerous what you're doing. Because you're choosing to go down a route that is uncertain, and riches and everything material is uncertain, and you're bartering with that which is eternal, your soul. But he didn't prevail upon him. And the young man left, and he did very well in business. And a period afterwards, he took violently ill. He had built a mill and was doing very well. He had lots of money. He took ill to the extent that it was his deathbed. A preacher, whether it was Moody or not, I can't recall, but a preacher came to see him. Whenever the young man was lying in his deathbed, the preacher came in and spoke to him at length about his soul, but it didn't seem to have much of an impact on him. The preacher said to him, you know, you need to come to the Lord. And he said, shh, shh. He noticed that his gaze was fixed on the corner of the room. He said, what is it? said, it's Jesus. Jesus in the... Yes. What is he saying? He says, I can't hear what he's saying for the sound of the mill. My business propositions have been too loud, and I can't hear him anymore. I remember talking to an evangelist many years ago that I worked with. He had had a campaign where a lady came along night after night. Now, the meetings were charged with the presence of God. There was great prayer, and God was in the midst. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to people, and this lady came under conviction of sin. She couldn't sleep at night, she couldn't work, she couldn't do anything. Just her sin and her conscience was so troubled, and she was just so aware of God dealing with her. And it went on day after day, night after night. And one night she went home. She couldn't stick it anymore. And she used to put her pillow up over her head to try and see if she could stop this voice, as it were, that was speaking so loud to her. And she said, leave me alone. And it stopped like that. It stopped like that. God was only too quick to acknowledge that if she didn't want him, he would gladly leave her. He would gladly leave her. She could have died like that. But many, many years passed. She went to meetings. She might as well have went to the ballroom. See, friend, going to church won't make you a Christian. It's only when God speaks to you. And if God doesn't speak to you, you're lost. You're lost. Don't you be saying, oh, well, I'll get saved whenever I like. I have a little niece. Well, she's grown up now, but when she was a little child, we got a telephone. And when we put the telephone in, first there was eight in my family. Of course, you needed eight phones for everybody wanted answered. Everybody jumped for it when it rang. And then after about 2 or 3 weeks, nobody answered it. Everybody says, you answered. No, I don't want to answer. You answered. That was the way it went. Well, my little niece, she was intrigued with this phone. She was only 4 at the time. And I went in one day, and she had lifted it, and she was talking away. I went in, and I said, dear, you need to set the phone down. Now, just set it back down. And she was, yes, yes. And she says, shh, I'm on the phone. I says, yes, yes. I says, listen, Pat, just set the phone down. There's nobody there. Nobody on the phone. And she says, shh, hold on a minute. And she talked away. And I said, listen, Pat, there's nobody there. And she got cross with me then. And she banged the phone down. And she says, how did you know there was nobody on the phone? I said, it didn't ring. It didn't ring. And reverently speaking, you can't get saved until God rings. You may lift the phone and he may not be there. My dear friend. God said it was one of his early pronouncements on man. In Genesis 6, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God says, I'll not always deal with you. You and I are dependent on God. He's not dependent on us. We need him. We need him. We're the ones who have sinned. We're the ones who are guilty. We are the ones who need forgiveness. There's a choice. Sometimes there's a deliberate delay. Sometimes, as I've mentioned, there's a divine departure. Many years ago, I read a book of an evangelist that worked up around this part, actually, up around North Antrim area. And he had had a number of missions, and God had been pleased to bless. Many people came to the Lord. But one particular mission was being held where there was a young man. And he had come along night after night with his mother and sister. And as the preacher preached night after night, this young man came. His mom and his sister were saved, but he wasn't. And night after night, they came along to the meetings. And he states in his book that the young man, this particular night, this preacher felt very, very strong that he should challenge him leaving the meeting. Talk to him, going out. And so he preached that night, and as he left, he did. It was very unusual for the evangelist to do. I have to confess, I've only done it a few times in my life where I've really felt God telling me, stop that person. Talk to them at the door. There's something happening there. You need to really enforce the danger of the way they're taking. And that's what he did that night, because sometimes the evangelist, God can show the preacher what's going on. God can show the preacher what's going on in people's lives. So he can. And so the young man was leaving, and the preacher held his hand, and he said, young man, would you not come to the Lord? And he said, some other night. He impressed on him that he said, you know, I really feel God wants you to seek him, to come to him. He said, well, there's other nights. The following day, he was welding in the yard. His mother and the sister were in the kitchen with all the windows round about, and suddenly they saw a flash, and it went right through the kitchen. They ran out, and his sister put her hand down to touch her brother, and her mother said, don't even touch him. He was electrocuted. He was gone. What he didn't realize, and I don't know what happened in the young man's life, but what he didn't realize was that the previous night, that God in his mercy was pleading desperately with him through the evangelist, because it was his last call. He thought he had loads of time. He thought he was going to live till he was an old man. The old must die, but the young may die. What I want to ask you tonight is, are you ready to die? Are you ready? If the call came tonight, would you have apologies to make? Would you have sin to confess? Would you have things to put right? Or are you right with God? Are you right with God? Are you happy enough about entering through the valley of the shadow of death? The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now listen, as we draw to a close. Thank God not everybody keeps the door closed. The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So you open the door. How do you open the door? How do you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, you have to open it personally. I have members of my family that are not saved. I would love to save them, but I can't. I can't open the door for their heart. You can only open the door for yourself. Mother and father, you can't do it for your child. Child, you can't do it for mother and father. You can pray for them. You try to influence. But you can only open the door personally. A little girl on one occasion, she said that she was inviting the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a dream. She was inviting the Lord Jesus to come into her life. And she was pulling at the door, and she'd got the handle on the inside, and boy, was she pulling it to let Jesus in. She wanted him in, boy, more than anything. Jesus, please come in. And she invited him, and she begged him, and she pleaded, and there he was at the other side, and she's pulling with all her might. And she just got it open a wee tiny bit. So Jesus, I want you in. What's wrong, Jesus? Why are you not coming in? And Jesus said, is there something behind the door? She looked down and saw this massive bag at the back, bottom of the door. Sin. Sin was behind the door. You see, dear friend, if you're ever to become a Christian, you've got to repent of your sin. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin or conceal it, whoever covers his sin shall never prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. God had to teach me this in the most unusual way many years ago in Bible College in Edinburgh. I was out, I never was in a pub until I became a Christian. I know that sounds a bit strange, but that's the truth. I was put into pubs for to give out tracts. I'd never been in one. Never in all my childhood. And so I went around these pubs. Well, I was glad there was a Canadian with me, and he was 6'7". And I was really pleased to have him with me. Because we went into these places. We were always told pubs were dirty old places. And so I went in, and even when they clean them up, they're still dirty old places. But nevertheless, I went into this place, and to my amazement, I found out these people are pretty normal. I didn't know what to expect, whether they'd be animals or what would be, you know, but we were never allowed into them anyway. But they were pretty normal, sane people, and I went in and talked to these two or three guys who were sitting. And, it was quite stressful for me initially, but then got settled a bit. And he says, what are you, I says, we're telling people, how do you get to heaven? Well, they were really interested, the three of them. And they said, listen, that's really good news. Nobody has ever told us about that. Tell us about it. I said, well, if you want to become a Christian, you've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you'll go to heaven. So we talked at length, and then this guy, in all earnestness, said to me, listen, he said, what are you meant to do? Are you meant to kneel down to do this? And I thought, whew, boy, I was under enough stress coming in here, now he wants to kneel down in the place, that's even worse. I said, you need to, and something inside, while he was talking, something inside was telling me, you've done something terribly wrong. And I'm praying away, Lord, what have I done wrong? And the Lord said, repentance. You didn't mention repentance. I said, hold on a wee moment before we kneel down. Wee problem, hold on. My fault, let's stop and start again. I said, listen, if you want to become a Christian, yeah, heaven is true, hell is true. You need to receive the Lord Jesus, but you have to repent. He said, what does that mean? I says, it means everything that God's word teaches, that your conscience says, that is clearly wrong, that you must turn away from that and forsake that and receive Jesus Christ. And he looked over, I'll be as absolutely frank, because that's the real world. He said to me, does that mean that I can't sleep with that girl over there that's at the bar? I said, is that your wife? He says, no, that's not my wife. I said, listen, that would stop. That's goodbye. Because that's fornication, and the Bible says fornicators, God will judge. Do you know what he turned to me? He said, listen, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I learned a valuable principle that day about the necessity of repentance to become a Christian. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, friends, you've got to open the door personally, and you've got to do it willingly. It's like getting married. I'm sure it has happened to an odd critter, but whenever I was married, nobody held me at the front of the church. I didn't have two or three men standing there with handcuffs on me. Say, you've got to go through with this. And this lady coming up, white up, and I'm thinking, oh, for dear sake, how do I get out of this thing? Huh? Maybe their husband people have done that, I don't know. But it didn't happen to me. I was more than happy to go ahead with it. It was a mutual agreement. We both entered into it. It was a contract. For life, to death we part. And in like manner, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, I'm going to receive this man. I'm going to enter into a relationship with this man. He's going to be Lord of my life. I'm going to love him. I'm going to give him my love, and I'm going to receive his love. And it's till death, and we never part. Let's conclude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. There's certainty. I will come in. You know, right up until I was about 18 years of age, my sisters all got saved actually at the opening of a Free Presbyterian church, believe it or not, when a great big man came and preached and frightened the life out of me. I was only a wee boy at the time. You have a good idea who he was. Boy, he frightened me. Well, this big man preached, and my three sisters sought the Lord that night, many years ago. Came to know the Lord, and they used to talk to me about being saved. But I couldn't grasp it. Couldn't understand that they said, you just believe. I couldn't see it. Until I was about 17, 18 years of age, and I heard the gospel being preached. And the Holy Spirit began to really convict me of my sin. I'm convinced now, I can't prove it, but I'm convinced in my own life that my childhood experiences weren't genuine. I'd asked the Lord to save me and so on, but in my life, I know many children, their experience is absolutely solid. They're genuinely born again, but in mine, I don't believe it was. But when I was 18, I can remember saying to God, because I had come through experiences of asking Jesus into my heart till I was tired of it. Got down at the bedside after missions, used to come home and say, God, save me. But my life was never changed. I never had a hunger for God. None of those things were there. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's going to cost. But I want to know that I'm saved more than the very breath, my next breath. And you know, the Bible says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that night, many, 30 years ago now, I can bring you to the place. I still do whenever my children are in the car. They're growing up now. And sometimes I'm driving up toward the west. I look over this little village off the motorway. I say, you see that village? Yes, Dad. See that where they're doing the building there? Yes, yes, Dad. What about it? I got saved there. The Lord Jesus Christ came into my life in a tent campaign in that field. I met the Lord in that field. My life was changed. Certainty. Certainty. Many years ago doing a mission, there was a dear lady. She happened to be Roman Catholic. She came along. She had been a nun at the time and was involved in quite deep in the Roman Catholic Church. She came along. We were doing the meetings outside Newry. And she had been invited by her neighbor, and she came, and God began to speak to her. And one night she stayed behind, and she said, you know, I would love to be a Christian. I've been seeking to know God all my life, and I have no idea. I didn't know how to know him. She says, but I just don't know what to do. And we talked at length and said to her, listen, you know, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I went through the text with her, and I'm going to do it with you as I close now. In case you're in that position where God is speaking to you, and you just need to come to him. Because it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. And I said to that young lady that night, tell me this, do you know what that means? And she said, yes, it means that Jesus comes and knocks at our lives. He comes and speaks. I said, that's absolutely right. And I said, if anyone hears my voice, do you hear his voice? She said, I certainly do. Jesus is speaking to me. I know he's speaking to me. I know he is. I said, that's wonderful. Behold, I stand at the door, knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Tell me this, have you ever opened the door? She said, no, I haven't. I said, why not? She says, I'm afraid. I says, what are you afraid of? She says, I don't know. I said, would you like to open the door? She said, I would. And in simple prayer, as we just give her the words to pray to help her, simply she prayed a childlike prayer, something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died for sinners and you died for me. I now repent or turn from all my sin and wickedness, and I invite you to come into my life and to save me. Come in, Lord Jesus, now and save me. And words to that effect. And when we had said amen, she looked up. And you know, I knew it had happened even before she spoke. You know, you can tell whether somebody's in a house or not, can't you, at night time? Because the lights come through the window. And whenever a person has received the Lord, the light literally goes on inside. The light of his presence, the light of his witness of his spirit. And she said, I know he has come. I know he has come into my life. I wonder tonight, do you need to do what that lady did? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in. Amen.
Let's just still our hearts in God's presence before we sing our final hymn. And maybe the Lord has been speaking to your heart tonight. He's maybe spoken to you before. The Bible says on four occasions today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Four times today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your heart against the call of God this evening, but invite the Savior into your life. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. If we can help you, or Alan can help you, and you want to speak to our brother, wait behind just where you are, and we'll speak with you. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the call of God and the gospel. We thank thee that thy word says, come, for all things are now ready. And Father, we bless thee tonight that thou hast made provision for men and women in the person of thy Son. And O God, we pray that thy Spirit will work on in hearts. Lord, we pray that thou will give willing hearts to receive the Savior. Lord, speak on in this meeting. We pray that thou wilt be glorified as men and women come and trust thy Son. Hear us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.